Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 202 on Course with God. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on July 11th, 2021 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. So, the point of that video is you don't want to go off course, right? So, how did this happen to a modern ship with all of the technical capability, etc.? Did you notice just one little phrase in that news clip was about how the ship was designed for entertainment, for comfort, and for producing revenue, and not for safety? Well, that's the way lives are too. Sometimes for comfort, sometimes for revenue, sometimes for other things. We go off course because we haven't designed properly to stay on course. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about being on course with God. But first of all, just to look at the part about being off course and the dangers of it. Literally, off course means to be in the wrong direction or away from the intended course, or by extension, going against or straying from the established plan or the correct or intended course of action. So you can relate to that as believers, that we have a plan set up before us. As Ellie was sharing before, you know, Jesus is coming back, and there are some instructions in the book to prepare us to stay on course for his return. So literally, we could go in the wrong direction if we get off course. We can go in the unintended direction. Synonyms for being off course or astray: confused, disoriented or lost, losing one's bearing, being off track, roaming and roving. Do you recognize some of those things? Today, we want to explore just how easily we can be blown off course from the will of God by listening to the advice of others instead of listening to the word from the Lord. So let's take a look at in the book at Acts chapter 27, if you'll go with me there. So this is a little bit of a long narrative, but it's worth really reading and taking to heart because it has some very, very good instruction for us in terms of whose voice to listen to. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is on his way to Rome. You remember maybe from previous chapters, if you've read those areas recently, that when Paul appealed to Caesar, they kept him in prison, and then they put him on a ship and sent him towards Rome. And that's what's happening in Acts chapter 27. And it says, when the time came, this is in verse 1, Acts 27, 1, when the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of an imperial regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessaloniki, was with us also. We left on a ship whose home port was Andromedium on the northwest coast of the province of Asia. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province. The next day, we docked at Sidon. Now, Sidon is up there in Lebanon. Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore and visit friends so that they could provide for his needs. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. So we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Keeping it to open sea, we passed along the coast of Sicilia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia. There, the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. We had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But the wind was against us, so we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island, past the Cape of Salmone. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens, a town that was near the town of Lycia. We had lost a lot of time, and the weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. "Men," he said, "I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well." But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and to the owner than to Paul. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, further up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there, because Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. Verse 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up the anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and they let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Clauda, where, with great difficulty, we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing cargo overboard. And the following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. Verse 20, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. So we're going to stop there for today. There's more to the story, which you should read. But we want to focus on verses 10 and 11. In verse 10, Paul said, "Sirs, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, injuries, and danger to our lives." So Paul tried to convince this centurion of these issues that he had heard from God concerning this great danger to the ship if they sail from Fair Havens. But the centurion, nevertheless, he followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship, according to verse 11. Verse 11 says, "But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and to the owner than to Paul." We notice also from verse 12 that Fair Havens was an exposed harbor. So it was a matter of comfort. The sailors, they didn't want to stay there because it would be a bad winter for them. No beach time. But if they would go on further to Phoenix, further up the coast of Crete, spend the winter there, that was a better harbor. So all of this seemed pretty rational and pretty good advice. I mean, these were experienced sailors. These were a captain and a pilot and an owner who would presumably have the best interest of the crew and the best interest of the passengers and the best interest of the cargo and the ship, the people who are sending cargo, that they would use their best rational wisdom in order to set sail and be in the right place. But there we see that the decision was not a good one. So where you get your counsel from is really, really an important issue. In the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, there are stories of people who got good counsel and there are stories about people who got bad counsel. There are stories about people who listened to God and who people sought the Lord and people who didn't seek the Lord. For example, King Asa, he's a king of the Old Testament, he got sick. He had some kind of disease, I think, of the feet. And he lost his life because instead of consulting God first, he consulted doctors first. Now, I don't presume there was anything wrong with him going to the doctor. But because he consulted the doctors first instead of consulting God and going to him first, he lost his life. Also in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, there's a story of Rehoboam. He was Solomon's son. You remember Solomon was the wisest person who ever lived the face of the earth and who the Bible says there's no one been that wise and no one will be that wise. But he had a son, and his son was going to take his place after Solomon died. And he, after Solomon died, decided to ask about the question of taxes. So he wanted to raise taxes on the people, and he began to consult the people around him. First, he consulted the elders of these were the advisors of Solomon, his dad, the wisest king who ever lived. And they said, you know, you shouldn't raise the taxes. You should be kind to the people. You should ease off. You should show them some mercy. So he apparently didn't like that advice, and he went to his friends, the guys that he had grown up with, the young guys, and asked them their advice. And they said, well, if your dad was tough on him, you'd be twice as tough. Double down on this thing and really sock it to him. So as a result, he lost 10 of the 12 tribes under his rule, and he ended up ruling only the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. So important where you get your counsel from. He could have followed the advice of his father's advisors, who were probably as wise as his father, but he chose the advice of some young people around him because they were friends and because he valued their counsel better than the counsel of those who were perhaps more informed and better equipped to make that decision. In the New Testament, there's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias is a believer in the early church. He took his counsel from Satan, and he lost his life. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of this price of the land for yourself? It cost him his life. They took him out of the church that day and buried him. Then his wife followed just a little bit later, and Peter said to her, why have you conspired with your husband to do this wicked thing? She lied too, and she died in church too. So the counsel you take is where you get your counsel, and seeking the Lord and hearing his voice is really, really important if you want to stay on course in your life. So let's take a look at it a little deeper. Someone once said, we don't need good advice, we just need one word from the Lord. Amen. Wow, what a good way to look at it. Yes. Because one word from the Lord can change everything. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 7, it says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. So if you want security and you want to stay on course, seeking God and blessing God for his counsel is the way to go. And you notice in that verse, in verse 7, it says, in the night my heart also instructs me. So the point of that is that, you know, the Word of God is full of instruction, but the Word of God between the pages of the Bible really does not do very much good to anyone unless that Word gets from those pages through your mind and into your heart. Then your heart can instruct you in a more perfect way, and you can hear the voice of God more clearly. He said, I always set the Lord before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. So if you don't want to be shaken and go off course, the way is to seek the Lord and to make him your chief counselor for everything. Then you can say with the psalmist David, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. So there's security in that. In another psalm, Psalm chapter 33, verse 11, it says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So there's one sure thing, is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said, I am the Lord, I change not. So when we go back to his word to receive our counsel and begin to accept and act upon the counsel that the word of God gives us, then we can begin to hear the voice of the Lord more clearly when we're up against the storms of life that could possibly take us off course. So many people just try to navigate it on their own, to navigate around the rocks and the river and just, you know, make it on their own, their best intelligence, you know, just to make it, and sometimes go to places for counsel that they shouldn't go to, and they end up with a shipwreck, with the ship tilted like you saw on the screen just a few minutes ago. But God wants you to stand strong in Him and the power of His might. And instead of looking for good advice, look for a word from the Lord. The second thing is that God does not need decision makers. He needs hearers. There's a lot of scriptures that bear this out. But in Psalm chapter 107, verse 10, it says, "Those who sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help." God doesn't need decision makers. He needs people to listen to Him. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said these words. He said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So sometimes we hear and hear and hear, but we don't keep and keep and keep. So it's not how you start out that counts, it's how you finish that counts. Being a keeper of the Word of God will keep you on course with Him. In John chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus said this, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but He will speak whatever He hears. He will tell you of things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." So important to have an active relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, because He's the voice of God to you. He's the one who will bring the scripture from the pages into a place of revelation in your heart. He's the one that will remind you of the truths that will keep you on course and keep you from going astray and keeping you from going in the wrong direction. So it's so important that we have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, that we're listening to Him, listening to His leading and His guidance, because that's the key to staying on course with God. The third thing is that in everything, in every circumstance, God's planned a way of escape. There was a way of escape for those sailors that Paul traveled with. All they had to do is listen to the word of the Lord that came through him. The way of escape would have been to stay in Fair Havens and winter there, even though it would have been perhaps a less pleasant stay than at the port of Phoenix. Because you see, they never really ever made it to Phoenix. They ended up shipwrecked on an island. The island of Malta. So in every circumstance, He has a planned way of escape, and if we'll take the time to listen to Him, we can find out what that plan is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, He says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." You could also put there, "No trial has overtaken you than is common." The devil's up to his same tricks with everybody. He uses the same game for everyone because it works. And he tries it over and over again. He's practiced it for thousands of years. And if you think you can outsmart him in his tricks, really all you have to do is go back and look what he did in the lives of people throughout history, throughout the history of the Bible, and even throughout human history as recorded, and you can see exactly what he's up to every step of the way. But if you don't pay attention, you will think, "Wow, this came and pawned me. This blindsided me. This just, showed up, and somehow I got off course here." But he said, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted," or you could say tried, "beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." And so God's plan is for you to stay on course, and even in rough circumstances and tough times in your life, to stay on course, to keep seeking Him, hearing His voice, and avoid the rocks in the river, so to speak. Because he's made a way of escape. He's made a way around these things. And if you'll just look for it, sometimes it won't be the most comfortable place you have been in, but it'll be the place where he's taking you to safety. He's taking you out of the dangerous waters and putting you under the palm, under the covering of his wings and in the palm of his hands. So in the case of the pilot and the ship's owner, they thought they had made the right decision when the light wind began blowing from the south. So sometimes, you know, we have that light wind blowing from the south, you know. Seems like it's the way to go. Looks like the way. All the circumstances are lining up. But it can be the light wind that takes you off course. So things are not always as they seem. And having inside information, inside the Bible information, inside the Word of God information, inside the Holy Spirit information, inside the counsel of godly advisor information, you can escape and have the right course. How quickly, however, did the dreamy breeze turn into a nightmare storm? And that's the way it happens even yet today in the lives of people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us everything to enjoy." When we put our eyes and our focus on God and trust in him above things and above the counsel of this world, then we can put down our pride, not be haughty, set our hopes on God, set our hopes on the right place, and we can stay on course with God. So what do we take away from this? Well, staying on course with God is really important. It's vital because Jesus is coming back soon. On course means following the intended route, not the other route. On course for or to do something means we're likely to achieve something. God has given us a commission. He's given us a commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He's provided a way for us to do that, but sometimes there are obstacles. Most of the time there are obstacles to overcome. And we won't do that in our own wisdom. We won't do that in the counsel of men. We won't do it by looking at the circumstances. We'll only carry out that commission, that purpose in life, if we seek the Lord and hear his voice. And when we listen to him, and then we listen to the counsel of the godly, will be like the word says in Psalm chapter 1, "Blessed is the man or the woman or the young person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water, who brings forth fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The way to prosperity is to seek God. The way of prosperity is to keep the Lord as your shepherd. Because when the Lord is your shepherd, as it says in Psalm 23, you shall not want. Because he's leading you beside quiet waters, and he's putting you in the green pastures. You know, everybody thinks it's greener on the other side, but the other side isn't always the way it looks like it from this side. And so God can keep you on the right path, the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He can take you through the valleys of the shadow of death even and bring you out on the other side so that you will fear no evil, because he's with you and he's counseling you and he's guiding you every step of the way. So don't try to discern the right direction with your natural mind, but instead wait upon the Lord and listen to his counsel. In the end, you'll save yourself a lot of heartache. Proverbs 19:21 says, "For the Lord's purpose will prevail." If you follow his counsel, you'll discover that God is your shield, saving those whose hearts are true and right, as it says in Psalm chapter 7, verse 10. In closing today, there's a couple of verses I want to share with you. One is from Proverbs chapter 16, the first three verses. It says, "The plans of the heart belong to man. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2 says, all the ways of men are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. So important what you have in your heart. Verse 3 says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So if you use those three rules from 1, 2, and 3, you will stay on course. You'll be on course with God, and you'll avoid the shipwrecks of life, the shipwrecks of faith, and a lot of trouble in your life. Now, I know that the life that God has for you may not be a bed of roses, may not always be easy, may not always be comfortable, may not always be as satisfying as you would like it to be in the flesh. But when you're following God, there are some rewards besides the comforts of the flesh, the comforts of the world, and the comforts of the friends around you. There's a life that's satisfied because the godly are content in the Lord, and godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. So you can have that great gain if you will put your focus on the right things, hang around the right people, and be looking to God for your best counsel. And then this final scripture from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. This is from the Amplified. It says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all peace and joy in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. That's Romans 15, 13 from the Amplified. You know, that's really what I want to be, running over with hope. I hope you do, too. I hope you do want to be running over with hope. I want to dare to throw my whole life and everything that I have into building that dream that comes from the heart of God. Because the heart of God has a dream for every person, every man, every woman, every young person. And if you can find that dream and get on course with that dream, you'll have a life that's fulfilling, that's satisfying, and in the end, in the life to come, you'll have the joys of meeting Him face to face. I want to get out there so far that without God's help, I can't get back. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.